We've been out of the ship for a while, so now we're going to get back in the ship. Pastor White told me he was in Philippians, and it's a good thing that I didn't have my old Bible whilst he was going through Philippians, because I would have fallen out of the ship. Amen. My Philippian ship is sailed. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, picking back up where we left off last time, dealing with the discipleship, another one of the ships that we want to abide in. And we're going to be talking about a couple more principles today that Jesus mentions in particular, that if you do these things, you are my disciple. John chapter 8, verse number 28 is where I'm going to start reading, and I'm going to ask you to join in with me on verses 31 and 32. John chapter 8, everybody there say amen. John chapter 8, verse 28, and the Bible says, "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." Would to God we could say that. Amen. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Read verses 31 and 32 with me. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Amen. We talked about this last time. This is one of the times that Jesus says, these are some things that shows people that you are one of my disciples. He says, continuing in my word is one of those things. In this chapter, we found out that Jesus is talking about a multitude of topics. He mentions the woman caught in adultery in verses 1 through 11. He then states that he's the light of the world and discusses that in verses 12 through 29. Discipleship is touched upon here in verses 30 and 32, and then some teachings about Abraham in verses 33 through 59. I gave you this topic last time, or this definition. A disciple is defined as a learner, an imitator, a pupil, or follower of Christ. A learner is one who accepts and follows the ideas and practices of his teacher. You and I, upon salvation, began our discipleship. Say, preacher, how do you know that? Matthew 28, he said, "Go ye therefore," and what? "Teach all nations," and that word "teach" means to make a disciple or instruct one. So after salvation was taught, you and I entered into the discipleship. Now, how is that discipleship coming is the next question. Several things that Jesus begins to talk about, which says, this is going to determine how people know you're my disciple. And I do trust that you're being a good disciple today. And if you're not, become a better disciple, a better learner, a better follower, imitator of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you once again for what you have taught us thus far about discipleship. Thank you that Jesus makes it abundantly clear what discipleship is all about and what it takes. There's no guesswork for us. There's nothing that we have to think about. We just need to do the work of the disciple, getting in the discipleship and working and walking according to the will of God. I do pray now, Lord, that you would anoint my lips and my heart that I may speak thus saith the Lord. We might be encouraged today in our walk as a disciple. And those areas that need to be, Lord, pruned, that you would prune those areas that need to be sharpened, you would sharpen those areas. Our hearts, Lord, that need to be refined, refine them. Our ears, Lord, open them that we may hear. Our eyes, open them that we may see. And then, Lord, we may receive the engrafted word which can save our souls, Lord, and make us productive and profitable for the kingdom of God. Lord, I do pray for that one man, woman, boy, or girl that is amongst us today that has never accepted Christ as Savior. They've never repented of their sin and asked you to save them from hell. Lord, that you would anoint that man, that woman, that boy, that girl, they may sense their lostness without Christ, their need to be forgiven of their sin, and their, Lord, willingness to get saved before it's everlasting too late. Hold them back, Lord, from pride that would say, "I'm not a sinner." hold them back from stubbornness that would say, I've already made a commitment. But Lord, help them to find the peace and the Holy Spirit of God calling upon their life and calling upon their heart to be saved today. And then, Lord, for us Christians, help us to refine our walk with you as a disciple, finding better ways to please you so that we can say, for I do always those things that please him, just as Jesus did. Thank you for loving us, God. We praise you and thank you for what you've given us. And we pray it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. And Mrs. Dawson has our special today.
For all those times you heard me pray, for being there to guide my footsteps when my heart began to stray, I want to thank you. Thank you, Savior, for all those times when you were patient and I was too stubborn to see that you are all I ever needed and that your will is best for me. I want to thank you. Thank you, Savior. Every day. Every day. For saving my life. Thank you for paying the price. You've taken who I was. Now because of who I am in Christ, I have a chance to praise you with my life. I want to thank you every day. Every day. Times you were faithful when I forsook your way, and so many times I was ungrateful and I ignored the price that you paid. So I want to thank you. Thank you, Savior, for all those times when I was selfish and too blinded to see. For every time you looked upon my life and you saw who I am. So I want to thank you. Thank you, Savior, for all those times when I couldn't look to you for all I needed. But you waited for me to return and give you thanks. So I want to thank you. Thank you, Savior, for every day and every time you've been a precious Savior of mine. Every day. Thank you. rejoice. Take joy, my King. In what you hear, may it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Every day, every day.
Amen. Every day God blesses us, and what a blessing it is to think about His goodness and His grace every day. By the way, come back tonight, and Dr. Bruner is going to be singing. Amen. We used to say Dr. Bruner and the Brunettes. Amen. Can we still say that? Amen. Yes, I guess we can still say that. Amen. So they'll be singing tonight. Look forward to that blessing tonight at 5. So you'll be back tonight. And that will be a blessing. You know, I love the fact Dr. Bruner comes back and he's always ready to minister when he comes back. You know, I'll sing, I'll teach, whatever. And that is what it's all about. Matt Cayley came back and he was talking about how he took the things that he learned here, was able to go to New Jersey and Korea and implement those things that he learned here. And what a blessing it is to hear about God's people going other places and still being able to minister for the glory of God, what they learned here. Well, amen. We're disciples here. And looking to my left and your right, we've already been in the stewardship, amen, and the relationship, and what a blessing that has been. We're in the discipleship now after coming out of fellowship. And so what a blessing it is. This is going to be the second message in the discipleship. And what we're looking at in this discipleship, because it's a hard ship. Remember last time we talked about at the root of disciple comes discipline. And I asked this question, how many have discipline? And some hands went up. Then we said, how many like discipline? No hands went up, amen. How many of us need discipline? Hands and feet need to go up, amen. Hey, without discipline, you won't have anything going on at all, amen. I tell you, getting on the highway, and I tell you, it's easy if you don't have discipline to just start going with the flow of traffic. And that's fine if everybody's going to speed limit, but you find out that you're doing 80 because everybody else is doing 80. That's not good when the speed limit is 65, amen, because the cop is going to stop somebody. And you being the Christian, he will probably stop you.
Yes, sir.
And you will probably try to witness to him. He's not going to have anything going for that because you are a lawbreaker. Amen. Trust me, I tried it. It doesn't work. Amen. Cop pulled me over for speeding. I tried to invite him to church. He looked at me like, you've got to be kidding me, you lawbreaker. I wouldn't come to your church. You even broke the Ten Commandments. Amen. But you know, speeding is sin. Amen. So discipleship comes with discipline. And we talked about last time here in John's gospel, the need to continue in the discipleship, and the point that we made last time, that a disciple continues to obey. Look at verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. He said, now, they already believed in verse number 30. By the way, you can't be a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ if you're not saved. Amen. He said they believed on him. They were saved. They received Christ. He says, now, let me tell you something. There is a separation between salvation and discipleship. Just because you get saved doesn't mean you're in discipleship. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
It takes something to get into discipleship. Say, preacher, what does it take? Discipline. Discipline. Notice what he says. He said, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my what? Disciples indeed. He says, truly you're my disciples if you continue in this ship, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I brought this point up last time. Many Christians are in bondage right now because they haven't continued in the discipleship. There are things in their life that God, through the Holy Spirit of God, has loosened the shackles and freed them, but Satan still has them behind bars. Somebody say amen. God has set them free. He's loosed it. He's broken the bonds and the shackles that Satan has on them, but they're still behind bars, unwilling to come out because they have not continued in the discipleship, because it is a walk and it'll take you out of that prison, dropping those shackles and come into the freedom and the truth of God's word. Amen. Amen. I'm just being honest. There are a lot of Christians sitting under the sound of my voice right now that you're in bondage to something. And you're in bondage to that something because you have not let those shackles go and come out of that prison. Jesus has dropped those shackles. His blood has cleansed every sin. We're cured. We're free. But Satan still has us behind bars. You can't get out of there. Why can't I get out of there? Because you're still my prisoner. And you've got to look the devil square in the eye and say, you better go talk to the blood. You better go see that blood that's been shed. I'm free. He said, and ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Amen. There's a lot of bondaged Christians walking around. I too was one. I was saved, but I was held by unforgiveness that I had held in my heart. And although the shackles had come off, even though I was free, I was still in prison, the prison of unforgiveness, because I held some unforgiveness against somebody else. I would not forgive them, and I didn't have the freedom that I should have had. Amen. And my friend, if you have those things in your heart, you're not going to be as true. You need to get in the discipleship and get God going and saying, let's go, God. Let's go. Let's go. I got to get in this ship. I got to get in this ship. He says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So one of the first things that Christ says in this area is that a disciple continues to obey. And then we looked at several principles about that obedience. We looked at, we must be willing to learn daily in his word, in his ways, and even when we are weary. We learned number two, that we must be willing to learn by difficulty, through struggle, through stress, and even though we have no strength. And then we learned we must be willing to learn by digging through discernment and discussion with God in prayer. And when we continue in obedience to obey, we will know the truth. And the truth is more than able to make us free. Another principle we're going to look at today is not only does a disciple continue to obey, but in the discipleship, a disciple cares for others. A disciple cares for others. By the way, do you know that you and I should love other people?
Yes, sir.
Amen. And you know, one of the worst things is to meet a crusty, old Christian that's cranky and cantankerous. And just, you talk to him, you think, do you even know God? Can you imagine being a Christian like that? That's just crusty and sour. And you say, hi. We went to get a bite to eat yesterday, and the guy came up to the table. And he said, you guys must know Jesus, because y'all having too much fun over here. You know, and his wife was over at the table, and she said, I see Jesus all on their faces. Now, sometimes some of you go out and people see the devil all on your face. And they say, you couldn't possibly know Jesus. You definitely must be of the devil's disciples. I'm glad that people can see on our faces that we've been with Jesus, and there's a joy of the Lord that's our strength. And they see camaraderie. They see some unity, and they see something that it makes them come up to the table and say, y'all are having too much fun. The guy said, I need to join your table. Because if the truth be known, I don't think his table looked too happy. What am I saying? A disciple cares for others. Go with me to John chapter 14. We're in 8 right now. Go to John chapter 14. And I want us to notice a disciple cares for others. John chapter 13 and verse 35. And we'll get this next point in the discipleship. A disciple cares for others. Of course, the disciple continues to obey, but a disciple cares for others. And that's going to be the point we're going to talk about today. John 13. Come with me to verse number 34 in John chapter 13. Notice verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my what? Disciples, if ye have love one to another. Jesus lays down more criteria here for discipleship by calling our love into question. Notice he states in verse 35, by this, meaning our love, shall all men know that ye are my disciple. In other words, he's saying everyone will know it that knows you, because you show it that you're my disciple because you have the same love that I have. And by the way, that is not a superficial love. That is not a half-going love. That is a sold-out, all-the-way love of God for people just because they were created in the image of God. I don't care what color they are. I don't care how many tattoos they have. I don't care how many earrings they have. I don't care how bad of language they use. I don't care what their education level is like. I don't care how young they are, how old they are. He said, all people are going to know my love by you, through you, because of your love towards them. Amen. Amen. Hey, folks, I think we need to get back in that discipleship. So I think some of us have fallen out of that ship. We can be selective. I had heard a preacher preach a message on prejudice. It was about five black people in the audience. And you could hear a pin drop. You could hear a pin drop. And the preacher was white. And he was preaching on prejudice. And not only preached on racial prejudice, he preached on religious prejudice, economical prejudice, educational prejudice, and how you and I are so prejudiced against someone that's not like us. Whether it's in a social class or an educational class, we are so prejudiced and so think we're so much better than someone else because they're not like us. They don't do what we do. They don't sing like us. They don't walk like us. They don't have much money as we have. They don't have my educational level. They don't know much Bible. And he said, we can get so uppity with our noses against people that it's a shame and it's a stink in the nostrils of God to have that kind of attitude because the churches will not flourish with that attitude in them. Amen. You didn't hear a whole lot of amens in that church. But it's a stink to be that way. Jesus says everyone will know it that knows you because you show it. In this particular passage here, he just finished talking about come to verse 21. At that day, you shall know that I am in the Father. I'm in chapter 14. Amen. The Last Supper here, Jesus was going to be betrayed, of course, and Judas Iscariot was going to be betrayed. That was verse 21. And when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Come down to verse 26. Jesus answered, it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. So he made sure that the one who was going to be the betrayer was gone before he gave the next information. Notice what it says down in verse 27. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now, no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. Verse 30. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. So Judas Iscariot is not there. So we know he didn't have the love that he needed to have. Now the 11 are left, and Jesus is going to begin to challenge them about their love. He said, now, I know the betrayer is gone. Now, you 11 say you love me. Remember, these are the same 11. He said, will ye also go away? He says, now, let me tell you something. The betrayer is gone, but let me call into question your love. And as he's talking, I bet every disciple's mind was spinning. What about my love? What about my love? Notice the next verse after verse 30, after Simon goes out. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, ye shall seek me. And I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. He says, you know, the time is going to get tough. People are going to turn against you, and brother's going to turn against brother, and sister's going to turn against sister, mother's going to turn against father, and so on and so forth. And you have to be known by your love. Christian, times are tough now. It's hard to go out there and show agape, God's love, without God's spirit, because this world is so wicked. You see somebody broken down and you're afraid that if you go and stop and help them, somebody's going to jump out the bushes and get you. It is so bad. You see someone that looks down and destitute on the corner. You don't want to give to them because you think they're a shyster trying to take your money. It's so bad that we're afraid to help someone that really is in need of help for fear of what may happen to us. He's letting them know there's coming some times when evil is going to abound and people are going to be against you. And if you're not known for anything amongst each other, you better be known for loving one another, because nobody else is going to stick with you but you. Christian, let me tell you something. Sometimes nobody's going to stick with you but us. Mothers may turn against you. Fathers may turn against you. Sisters may turn against you. Brothers may turn against you. Co-workers may turn against you. Classmates may turn against you. Everybody may turn against you. And if nothing else happens, we know we have each other. And the 12, the 11 had to go on that. When Jesus goes, if we don't have anything, Peter, at least I know you got my back. John, at least I know you got my back. Matthew, at least I know you got my back. Hey, Mark, at least I know you got my back. Or whoever, Thomas, I know you got my back. Hey, Bartholomew, I know you got my back. Andrew, I know you got my back. Hey, I know you got my back. They had to know that. Do you know that others have your back in church? He says, that's how you really know. Another, notice verse 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. See, talk is cheap. But what about when the proof meets the pudding? If you were to see me in the store, if I was to see you in the store, would you come up to me when you were with your friends, or would you duck and dodge me because I'm your pastor? Would you go up to your preacher's wife because she's your preacher's wife, or would you duck and dodge? Because if she introduced you or he introduced you and said, this is my pastor, this is my preacher's wife, you're going to be ashamed because now I'm a Christian. I got to be associated with Christianity. By this shall all men know. Shall all men know. Our measure of love will not show just some men or just a few men, but according to Jesus, all men, both saved and lost. How's our love towards one another? He says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. All people will know you're my learner. All people will know that you're my follower. All people will know this if ye have love one to another. Ask a rhetorical question. Do we have the attitude, if my brother or sister needs help, here I am, I'll help? Or is it my four and no more? Are we willing to meet the needs of others even when it hurts? By the way, it seems that when you are really needed, listen to me, when you are really needed, it's inconvenient for you. I'm talking about when you're really needed. When you are really needed. So we don't care about the abundance of time that you have, because then we'll give or we'll do. But it's when I don't have time to help. It's when I don't have the finances to help. It's when I don't have the resources to help that I'm called upon to give. That which I don't seem to have is when we have problems giving to someone else. Time is a commodity. We're running late and someone needs help. We're tight on money and someone needs help. We're tight on time and someone needs help. A situation I'll tell you about that happened to us. Church started at 6:30 and we were trying to get the free food at the hotel. And the free food didn't come out till 6. So we rushed down to get the free food. Of course, the free food was a little bit late. And so I said, now we got to get this food and we got to be done and in the car by 6:10, because church starts and it takes us 15 minutes to get there. We don't want to be late. We went over there. They had nachos that night. And so everybody gets their nachos and gets all their stuff, and we get all that stuff. And, you know, one of my children, I'm not going to call their name, had gotten their food. And I said, now hold this food like this and then put your other food like this and hold it carefully. And as we got going back to put the food into the room so we can go to church, pow, all the nachos spilled. And I heard, Daddy, I spilled my nachos. And of course, Daddy turns around to see the child there in dismay and all the people looking. And one of my children said, Dad, you turned around and went like this. And you ran over to the corner and did. And you composed yourself and said, ma'am, we have a spill here. You know what I didn't have? Time. And you know what it was hard to show? Love. And it was hard to show love one to another at that time. I'm thinking it's time we're going to be late. And y'all know how I feel about going in church late. But I don't know how, but I managed to compose myself and say, Miss, we can you help us with this? Get over here, kid. Told you to hold it like this. Like this. Do you know what other people saw? They saw me going. That didn't look too loving to me. So I can only imagine how it looked to some other people. I got back to the room and I continued on my tirade. Finally got right with God, went to the church to try to get a blessing. Amen, Joe. The point I'm trying to make is others can see your love one to another. And I'm sure they saw my lack of it. And one of my children saw me trying to get my composure. And they actually reenacted the whole thing out. And I thought, I couldn't have possibly behaved like that. I'm a preacher. Preachers don't behave like that. They're the most loving people we know. They're godly. They walk on water when it's frozen. But he says down there, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Now, I'm confessing, I got work to do. Because normally when we're called upon to show love is when we don't have time. I didn't have time right then. And it showed. And we've got to be willing to show love when we have time and when we don't have time. And it can't be done in and of ourselves. It's got to be done through the Holy Spirit of God. Now, if I'd invoke the Holy Spirit of God and say, Holy Spirit, what should I do? He'd have said, you need to compose yourself and help clean up that mess. It's okay. You'd be late for church. You missed a little bit of singing, but you'd be fine. But I was more concerned about time than I was about love. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We get so busy doing that we forget being. We forget being. And it's so easy to get caught up doing that we forget we can't be without Christ's Spirit working in us. True love, number one, is identified by John 3:16. Go with me back to John 3:16. He says, for God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten son. True love is identified by John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The phrase that I want us to look at is God so loved the world that he gave. We often say love is an action, but can I take that a step further? Love is action from a heart moved by God. In other words, love is action from my heart moved by God, doing what God would do through me. See, I can do some actions and God has nothing to do with it because it's not done for God. It's done for me out of my abundance of time. But when I don't have time, I need God's grace and God's mercy to say, God, I don't have time. Work this love through me because I don't feel so loving right now. And so it's more than just love as an action. Love is action from a heart moved by God, doing what God would do through us for the action. Amen. Because there are a lot of needy people in church and outside the church that need to see your love and my love demonstrated. Oftentimes, that's what will bring them to Christ. One thing that got me to go to church was the young man dealing with me, Brother Rod. He was patient with me. He showed love towards me. He showed kindness toward me. He didn't care that I had a foul mouth. He didn't care that I was drinking. He didn't care the things that I was doing. He loved me and spent time with me. And as a result, I went to church and got saved. What am I saying? Love is an action, but it's identified by the action from a heart moved by God, doing what God would do through us. See, cooking a meal can be love, but it can also be duty. It all depends on the heart that's moved by God. See, giving a ride to someone can be love. It can also be a drudgery. It all depends on the heart. See, helping fix something could be love, but it all could be because I don't want to hear you talk about it being broken again. See, assisting with children can be love, or it all could just be sympathy because I want to make sure they taught. See, assisting with studies can be love, but it also could be I don't want to see you in the state that you're in. It's all based on an action from a heart moved by God. Meeting a need can be love. Prayers can be love. You name it. If it's done from a heart moved by God, then God is pleased. People see that, and all men will see that you are his disciple because you're showing his kind of love. It wasn't convenient for God to save me the day that he saved me, but yet you know what? He did. It wasn't convenient for Brother Dunn to spend 2.5 hours to lead me to Christ, but you know what? He did. And he's still giving to me. We saw him at the COBA conference. He came over, bought all the kids' t-shirts. He bought our meals to eat that night. And he's the one that led me to the Lord. I should have been doing that for him. We were caught in traffic. We knew we were going to be late. We text him, Brother, save us some seats. Save us 5 seats. We got there, walked in, 5 seats were saved for us. See, it's action moved by a heart that's moved by God. There are all sorts of things that we can do, but let me caution you on something. If you don't know what to do to show love, pray. That's what I should have did with the nachos. I should have prayed. You know what I did? Fumed. You know what I did? Showed disgust. You know what I did? Showed anger. Because I'm going to be late. You know why I did that? You know, at the root of all, you know what that is? It's pride. At the root of it, it's pride. I didn't want people to look at me and say, oh, shame, shame, shame. Yeah. You're a Christian and a preacher and you're late for church. Shame, shame, shame. It's pride. All I do is humble myself and say, you know, we had a spill. My daughter's more important than some old nachos. And so I just gave it away, didn't I? Yeah. my son's over there. Yes, now people think it's me. But don't y'all tease my daughter. Amen. At the root of it, it was just pride. That's all it was. It was pride. It was just pride. All sorts of things that we can do one to another to show our love. And Jesus said his disciples will show this attitude and all men shall know it. So it's identified in our giving. For God so loved the world that he gave. But it's illustrated as well. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We look at this as the love chapter because it's talking about the superiority of love over spiritual gifts. And it is 1 Corinthians. Because when you look at this, it's not only identified, true love is identified, but it's illustrated in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Paul speaking of the superiority of charity, and charity is love. And he says down there, the word charity is love. Notice what he says in verse number 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. In other words, he said, I'm making noise. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity or love, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity or love, it profiteth me nothing. So what does charity do? It's illustrated here. It's identified in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. It's a heart moved by God. But now it's illustrated. If my heart's going to be moved by God, what will I do? What will I manifest? How will people see that I'm a disciple by my love one to another? What will I do? Number one, he said, charity or love suffereth long. I will be long suffering in what I do. I won't give up in toughness or tough times. I will keep on loving, amen, because I'm going to suffer long. You know how long I suffered when I saw the nachos on the ground? Because as soon as I saw them hit the ground, I looked at my watch. I thought, well, this is going to take some time. This is going to take some time. So all men see my love. They saw my lack of love by my looking at my watch. He says, it's illustrated in suffering long. He said, and it's kind. I don't think kindness was seen as I was pointing out the way to hold things. Didn't look good to me. I know it didn't look good to God. Charity or love envieth not. Charity or love vaunteth not itself. It's not boastful. Envieth means it's not jealous. It's not puffed up. It's not going to be prideful. Verse number 5. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Not going to do things that are going to be shameful. Seeketh not her own. Love is not selfish. Is not easily provoked. By the way, let me give you this. Parents, if children do something that's wrong like that, that's an accident, don't you think they feel bad enough when they do it? How do you think they feel equally when you get on them in public? I had to learn a lesson in humility and fathering and parenting. That's not good. That's not good. Shall all men know that you are my disciple? He says down there, not easily provoked. I failed right there. Not easily angered is the word they're looking at. Thinketh no evil. Is not thinking about bad thoughts or bad of others, only good. Verse 6, rejoiceth not in iniquity. Not happy when others sin. Siblings need to learn that one. But rejoiceth in the truth. Happy when others are doing right. Verse 7, beareth all things, able to put up with others' faults. I mean, need a lesson in that. Amen. Amen. Somebody have a fault, guess what? Oftentimes we're ready to chuck them. Yes, sir. Hey, you got problems. By the way, who doesn't have problems? We all got problems. You got faults. Who doesn't have faults? We all have faults. But as soon as somebody comes, they got a fault. You need to go on somewhere with that fault. I'm above faultiness. We have the fault already. He says down there, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Notice that, verse 6, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, beareth all things, puts up with others' fault, believeth all things, has trust in God working through others. By the way, I was down at the one church in North Carolina, and the song leader was phenomenal, and he was the choir director. And I asked, I said, where did that guy come from? He was a bus kid that got saved on the bus route, that someone took time to lead to Christ, disciple him, and now he's the choir director and the song leader, a bus kid. Someone actually believed in all things. They believed that something, some good could come out of this crop of kids that were coming from the lower privileged area. Some good could come out of this kid who's coming without his parents. Some good could come out of this kid who coming off this bus, because there were several there. They were running around the church. And I tell you, if the truth be known, folks would look at them like, we bringing in those kind of kids? Look at what they're doing. They're running around like peep chickens with their heads cut off. I couldn't say anything because some of mine was doing the same thing. Running with them. Amen. But oftentimes we look at that and say, hey, we don't want those kind of kids here. We don't believe all things when it comes to them. Now, I believe something coming from those kids because their parents are nice and their parents are kind and they have money. They're well cut and something can come. But we've got to believe that it comes from everybody. There are no big I's and little U's. All of us are cut from the same sinful cloth. If that were the case, somebody would have never witnessed to me knowing that I was going to be a preacher. They didn't know I was going to be a preacher. They didn't know I was going to start a church. They just saw a lost sinner. Somebody's got to reach him. He believed all things, that God can take nothing and make something out of it. Amen. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. Bears bravely and calmly under ill treatment. Endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Whether it be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether it be tongues, they shall cease. Whether it be knowledge, it shall vanish away. we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part should be done away. Come down there in verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is what? Charity, love. So true love is identified in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. It's in giving. But then it's illustrated over in Corinthians, because now we've got to gauge what we're giving. Is it from a heart of love? He says, from this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love. I'm going to give, but now I've got to gauge my giving by 1 Corinthians. Is it of God? Is it motivated of love? Or is it just something that I can do in my own spare time? Because anybody can do a good action. But an action coming from the heart that's moved by God is special. It's different. And all men can see that. Go back to John chapter 13. I don't know about you, but I know I need lessons still. I need to abide in the ship a little bit longer. I haven't arrived yet when it comes to this. John chapter 13. Notice what he says in verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. When the chips are down, Jesus let him know they've got to be able to depend on each other. That you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. You and I are going to be known by our love one toward another. If you're going to downgrade and talk about your brothers and sisters to somebody outside there, they're not going to want to come in here, because they'll say, you'll talk about me the same way you talk about your brother or sister. If you don't want to help your brother and sister, how can I come into an environment like that? Because you're not going to want to help me if I come into that church. He says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. Everybody needs to know you. And they need to know you by your love. He said, if you have love one to another, what do we need to do? Continue to obey in the discipleship, but then continue to care for others in the discipleship. Others will see your love and either want to be a part of your fellowship or want to run away from your fellowship based upon your love for one another. My question for you is, how is your love? Do you see that it is to give? But then also, do you see that it's got to be gauged? A heart that's regulated by God. Because just giving, anybody can do that. But gauging it through 1 Corinthians 13 and weighing it out. What's my motive? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Is it truly to follow Christ and be a disciple of him? Because if it is, others will see that. If it's not, we're just going to be just like anybody else. Read verse 34 and 35 with me again as we close. John chapter 13, 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love. Yeah, y'all read with me here. Read with me out loud. Amen. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Leave you with this question. By this, by your love, what do all men know about you this morning? By this, he says, love one another as I've loved you, that ye also love one another. He said, now, by this, by your love one to another, shall all men know that you're my disciple. By this, by your love one to another, what do all men know about you? Father, bless now. Help us, Lord, in this discipleship. I know I need work. I'm not where I need to be. And Lord, I can't speak for everybody here, but I know I need an overhaul. I need to work diligently at this. Lord, I know that it's identified by giving, but then I know it's gauged by charity. Lord, help me to demonstrate and illustrate first and foremost to you that I have that love, that agape love. And then, Lord, let me demonstrate that to others around me, starting in my family, then my church family, than others outside my church family. But Lord, we know, as you said in the scriptures, that all men know it one way. They know it. They can see our love, and they know whether we're your disciple or whether we're just fooling around and faking. Lord, we thank you that you're a merciful God. You forgive us of our faults and our sins. And you want to work in us. This is not something that we can do ourselves. This is something that you must do through our obedience to your word. So, Lord, help us, first of all, to continue to obey in this discipleship. But then, Lord, help us to care for others in this discipleship. And help it to be a heart that's truly moved by God in our giving. And a heart that's gauged by 1 Corinthians, the charity that we show. Start with me and work in the midst of this congregation. Thank you for loving me. Lord, perhaps there's a man, there's a woman, there's a boy or girl here today without Jesus Christ. Help them, Lord, to spot my faults, to see the love of Christ. Oh, Lord, you died for their sins. And you were buried and you rose again the third day, according to the scriptures, for their sins. And Lord, you'll save that man, that woman, that boy or girl that call upon you when they ask. We know all of us are sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages sin is death. But because you love us, God, you gave your only begotten Son. Thank you that you not only gave, but you gauged from a heart of love because you love us. And help anyone under the sound of my voice without Jesus Christ to be born again before it's everlasting too late. Help us as Christians to do business with you that others may know our love. In Jesus' name, amen. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, on looking around just for a moment. How many would say, preacher, I know I'm saved beyond a shadow of a doubt. If I die right now, I know I'm going to heaven. I've confessed my sins to Jesus Christ. I'm born again. And by a show of hands, you say, I'm praising God that I'm saved. And here's my hand to testify, Almighty God, I'm saved. I'm saved. Amen. Amen. Hands going up all over the place. Amen. And they put them down. Maybe you're sitting in your seat and you couldn't say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I think I'm saved. I've got some doubts about it. Would you help me by praying for me that I can know for sure that I'm saved? And you raise your hand, preacher, I'm not sure if I died. I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. Pray for me. Man, woman, boy, or girl, all across the auditorium. Pray for me. Pray for me. Then, Christian, the last question is to you. What do all men know by you and by your love? Do they know you're a disciple of Christ, or is there some doubts in their mind based upon your actions and your activities? Perhaps like me, you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar. Say, Lord, work in my heart. Help me to show that true love. Help it not to be just giving of an action, but an action moved by God. Help me in my gauging to make sure it's moved by the charity that the Bible talks about. Perhaps you need to move. Father, bless these next moments in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet, heads bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. The altar is open. Maybe you need to come and do some business with God and say, God, work in my heart. Help me to love the way I know you want to love through me. Lord, guide me. Lord, direct me. Perhaps you've had an outburst this week like I had. We weren't quite so loving. Maybe you need to say, Lord, help me. Help me to give the way you want me to give. But then, Lord, help me to gauge the way you want me to gauge. The altar is open. Maybe you need to pray for a loved one. Maybe they're not as loving as they ought to be. Maybe they're not as forgiving as they need to be. Maybe there's a husband. Maybe there's a wife. Maybe there's a daughter. Maybe there's a son. Maybe there's a friend. There's an aunt. There's an uncle. There's a loved one that you have that you're concerned about. Maybe you need to pray. Say, Lord, help me to be loving towards them, but help them to be loving towards me. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. You have love one toward another. What do men know about you? What do they know about me based upon my love? Perhaps you're in the sound of my voice. You need to be born again. You need to be saved. You would like someone to take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Would you come and let us take a Bible? Just take a few moments of your time. Make sure that you know that heaven is your home. Only take a few moments. But we want to make sure that you know that you're saved. We want to help you with that step of salvation. Would you come? Perhaps you'd say, preacher, I know I'm saved, but I've not been baptized. I need to surrender for baptism. No, we are going to have a baptism here in a few weeks. Maybe you need to come and surrender for baptism. Say, preacher, never been scripturally baptized, immersed. Work in my heart. Or maybe you say, preacher, you know, I'm scripturally baptized. I've been immersed. Scripturally saved, I know it for sure. But I need a church home to belong to. You need to come and join this church. Why don't you come and let us have one of our deacons, our assistant pastor, show you and tell you what you need to do to join our church. Everybody needs a good church home. Would you come? Perhaps you say, preacher, you know, God's calling me to do a service to Him. Not really sure what it is, but I want to surrender to whatever it is till I find more clarity. Would you pray for me and with me? I'd love for you to come. Father, we thank you for what you have told us about the discipleship. Lord, you said if you continue in my word, you're my disciple indeed. You have also told us that if we have love one toward another, we're your disciples. You said all men will know what kind of disciple we are because of our love. God, help us to improve upon our love where we're weak at. Those areas where we're flawed and frail, Lord, to strengthen us. And Lord, allow us to give you first place so the Holy Spirit of God may work in our lives. Lord, we may truly be that which you have called us to be. And that is showing the love of God. We thank you so much for what we can show, what we have shown, what we have been. Lord, it's all been because of your honor and your glory and your might working through us. But help us not to be satisfied there, but continue to give ourselves moment by moment to the Spirit of God. Day by day, hour by hour, to love as Jesus, you loved us. And so that others and many, many more will know that we truly are your disciples because of our love. Lord, this society makes it difficult at times, but all things are possible through you. And so, Lord, help us to go beyond what we think and feel to allow you not only to guide in what we do in our giving, but then to gauge how we're giving from a heart moved by Almighty God. We know it's not going to be convenient, and it'll be when we're most needed somewhere else that we have to give. Lord, help us to be willing to do so, one toward another. Thank you for loving us. Meet our need. Thank you for sustaining Shining Light Baptist Church in our absence. And we'll praise you and thank you, Lord. Bring us back tonight at our designed time. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.